If you want to follow along on the back of your bulletin, to the second reading. This reading is interesting. It almost has clearly two parts. One would be exhortation. You know what that is, right? Words of encouragement. And then the other part would be a blessing. But there's a mistake we make. And sometimes this happens when we read scriptures. We read it as if it's a to-do list and I have to put it on my calendar as if it's something that it's all about and all up to me. Now, many of you may have a to-do list. It may have been given to you by your spouse. Sometimes kids give mom and dads a to-do list. We have a science project due in class, you know. I need your help, and so that goes on the calendar, you know, and things like that. But that would be a mistake. Because to-do lists start with you. And instead of a to-do list, words of encouragement in the scriptures always start with God. It's always about what he does, what he has done, what he is doing, and what he promises to do. Words of encouragement weren't meant to be a man-made list of works in that sense of to do. And so hear that first part again. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. And that sounds like a to-do list, doesn't it? Well, one of the things that's interesting about the Greek language is, and this English doesn't reflect it, is there's four participles. Now, maybe you were like me in school and you hated English and you just tuned me out because pastor's going to talk grammar and English in that way. But there are four participles. Can you pick them out? Take a look at your bulletin and pick out the participles. I'll help you. There are two in the first sentence. In the Greek, you see the word build? It's building. Participles have ongoing action. The second one, you go down a little further and it says pray. And it's praying. And the third is keep. It's about keeping. It's ongoing. And waiting is the fourth. Now, here's what's interesting. On your own, just all by yourself, can you build? In other words, can you create something out of nothing? No. You need materials. And you need a plan. And you need an idea, a vision of what you're going to do, and so forth. And then on your own, just by your own initiative, can you pray? And the answer is no. In order to pray, it requires faith. Now, anybody can give lip service, but only believers can pray to God. Everything else is a waste, because all other prayers to anything but the one true God is a waste of voice, a waste of time, because false gods don't answer prayers. Keep yourselves. On your own, can you control yourself? On your own, do you keep yourself? specifically in the love of God? Is that by your own doing, without any action of God? The answer is no. And then, wait. Well, let's move on. Because we are not good at waiting. I think probably the person that was most frustrated with waiting invented the cell phone. With all of its gadgets and all of its technology and all of its texting and internet searches and things like that. Because if you've ever noticed, people don't wait. Sitting, doing nothing, right? Soon, it's like this, you know. And they're in line, grocery store. They're in the waiting room, doctor's office, hospital. They are, you know, at work, even. Sometimes going to the cell phone because they're waiting for something else to happen so that they can move on. We do not like waiting. And so we find something to fill the void because we don't want to wait. Even, and I used to call it, I think my mom called it cook's prerogative, right? You've heard of that? Whoever is cooking gets to snitch. And I find waiting for the actual meal very frustrating. So sometimes, and Gwen will tell you, that sometimes I'm in the kitchen snitching because I don't want to wait. So how are these four words encouraging? How is it that the word to build, building, lifts us up? How is it that the word of keeping is positive and praying is supportive and waiting is hopeful? And the answer is it goes back to God. This Sunday is called the last Sunday of the year. It used to be called Christ the King Sunday. Both Sundays, those themes reflect the fact that Christ is going to return. And this is the last Sunday in what we call the church year. We know that the year won't end until December 31st, but we know that today for the church, the Christian church, we call this the last Sunday of the year because next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. And Advent talks about coming and welcoming Christ, and we prepare for the celebration of his birth, and we call that Christmas. But this Sunday is about Christ is coming, and he's coming soon. In the perspective of eternity, which means forever in all directions, Christ is coming sooner. And he asks us, the scriptures encourages us to keep that focus that Christ will return and to not lose hope and to stay focused and keep with the mission and keep as a child of God, as God's people, putting one foot of service in front of the other. Now, service may be in our parenting, in our marriage, in our workplace. Service has multitude of facets. But at the same time, throughout all of these, this is what God wants us to do. But he only wants us to do it because of what he gives. He says, build yourselves up in your most holy faith. He's talking about the faith that God has created in your heart. You can't build without the foundation, cornerstone of Jesus, right? He says, pray. You cannot pray except, as it says, in the Holy Spirit. No one says Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit. Faith leads us to pray. And in a sense, it's sort of like, you know, our sympathetic nervous system. You know what that is? That's the thing that it gets you to breathe. You know, you don't have anybody standing in front of you all the time saying, breathe in, out, all day long, right? Now, there are times someone tells you to breathe. When you're in the doctor's office and you think you're going to have pain, sometimes we hold our breath. When you're waiting for the teacher to tell the grades on the test, right? Sometimes we hold our breath. When you ask somebody you love to marry you, sometimes you hold your breath. And on, we have experiences in our life like that. But this is about ongoing prayer. It is God saying, I have a relationship with you. I have spoken to you through the Word. I have given you my Holy Spirit. Breathe. In fact, in the Old Testament, the ruach, the breath of life, in Genesis, when God breathed into Adam and Eve, the breath of life, that word of wind is what God is saying. Pray because of the Spirit. And then he tells you, keep, hold on, and wait. And we wait because of God's promises. You know, someone says, I'll be right with you. When someone tells you something, you're able to wait if you believe what they said is true. And they say, I'll get back to you in a minute. Our oldest granddaughter, Rebecca, is 13. And some time ago, she started this phrase. We don't know why or how, but she'd say, 1 minute. 1 minute, please. And so Grandma and I, we started on FaceTime. She says, oh, 1 minute, please. We go 59, 58. We start counting down the seconds, and she just grins. It's never a minute with her. And God has promised. And the wonderful thing about him is he keeps his word. He is never late according to his timing, according to what he has promised. And waiting becomes sustainable by the power of faith and the work of the Holy Spirit. And this is what God does. And then the second part of the text is the blessing. And when you take a look at that, you say, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. In English, it seems to just go on there for a bit, but in Greek, you almost have to impose the first part of the phrase to each part of the rest of the phrases. And so it would read something like this. It would say, to him belongs glory. That part's easy. But to him belongs majesty. To him belongs dominion. To him belongs power. To him belongs time. Man, that's different, isn't it? And in English, we just rush right through it. Yeah, God's got dominion, power, and majesty. Okay, got him. But it's really leading us to understand that to God belongs all the glory. And another word that we would use is the credit. Not payment like credit card, but to God belongs all the trophies, all the accolades, all the praise, all of that. To God belongs all the glory or the majesty. And the word majesty means that's something, right? You know, you look at cars, you look at stuff, you go to the store, you look at all stuff. But when something stands out, unusual and greater than the other stuff, you know, that's something. And here, God has all the majesty. God is all the something. There's nothing greater. And then you take a look at dominion. And dominion is another word that talks about rule and power. You know, the didymus, dynamite, you know, kind of thing. And to God belongs all the power. And then all authority. And if you think about it, what leads to the most havoc in our life is when we're trying to grab the credit, when we're trying to grab the power, when we're trying to be something that we aren't, and when we try to be an authority when we have none. You know, among kids, well, I'm the oldest, and the oldest pushes their weight around. you know. And in the workplace, you know, the people that use their position as power. And on it goes. We find failures and messes and chaos in our world. And so the blessing is, you have a God. And to Him is the glory. You don't have to worry about yourself. God has made you. He declares you special, but He gets the glory. And then He turns that glory back to you when He raises us up. Right? Body and soul, glorified body. Wow! But it's really still about God. And His power and His rule and authority and all of that, it's really about God. And so what happens in this text is the encouragement is because of God. And the blessing is from God, and we turn around and say to Him be the glory because He's already shown us that. And so on our calendars, we could pencil in, Jesus may return today. Now, if you hear somebody telling you the date, we know in the Bible, nobody knows but the Father. So anybody who says, I know Jesus is going to return on December 5th, well, they're lying. So don't panic. But just know, be watchful. And live in the encouragement that God gives and the blessing that He bestows. Amen.